We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to Maloney and Fourier. We'll get you ready. We got a lot going on this weekend. Bruins opening up Saturday, too, against the Stars. You got the Pats, Cowboys at 425. Dallas comes in here, 3.5-point favorite.
That was four.
Well, it's 3.5 to 4, whatever, okay. Where, depending on where you look. And one of the reasons why you feel good about this game. But if you're going to feel good about this game, would you agree that the red zone has to improve? Like how poor this team is in the red zone? Like you're able to hold, you know, the Tampa Bay to 19 points. To me, it was just an unbelievable defensive performance and just maybe a wrap.
So week six, okay? So this is when I see a lot of analysts, reporters using stats. Like, stats are relevant now. Like, first 3 weeks of the season, they're not really relevant. You don't have enough big enough picture. But I saw this thing on Mac Jones as far as his red zone production, throwing the football. As overall, he's 18 of 23, 78.3% completion percentage, 91 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Legit.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, but then you look at, you know, as far as passing TDs, they're 25th. When you look at where they're at as far as scoring, they're 26th. They average 19 points per game, and they're dead last in red zone connectivity or scoring touchdowns. It's either last or second to last. I haven't met last, but they're terrible at that also.
Terrible.
So when they get the opportunity to score touchdowns, they're the worst at it. So I sit there and I look at Mac Jones. This is where, like, you just really got to, you know, figure out what's important and what's camouflage and what is the truth. So when he throws the ball, he's completing it at a really good rate. He's 91 yards. He's got four touchdowns.
He's 18
for 23. But why are they still so bad? Why are they still so bad as far as scoring touchdowns?
Well, let me tell you why.
Why can't they score touchdowns?
What do you need to do in the red zone?
Obviously, you got to run it, I think.
Okay, so yeah, there you go. They've run the ball 21 times in the red zone for 46 yards. 2.2 yards a carry in the red zone. 2.2. Like, anybody will tell you got to run the ball in the red zone, right? You can't just chuck it in the red zone. You got to be able to run the ball effectively in the red zone. They're averaging 2.2 yards a carry. They have 2 rushing touchdowns in the red zone. 2. There's a team, they only have 3. That's because Damian Harris broke a 26-yarder, I think it was, against the Jets. But James White's got a touchdown. Damian Harris has got a touchdown. 2 rushing touchdowns in the red zone. 21 attempts for 46 yards. So, Mac Jones, you're right. You saw those numbers. You're like 18 for 23, 91 yards and 4 TDs. Those are 18 for 23.
He's doing – what else do you want him to do?
So, how are they so bad? And then you look and say, well, I mean, 23 – okay, so, I mean, are they running the ball? Like, how many possessions do they have? 21 attempts, 2.2 yards a carry in the red zone. Can't run the ball.
It's weird. It's almost like I saw this number and I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So he's when he gets the opportunity, like, he's good at it. Like, he's there's no turnovers in here. He's not turning it over in the red zone. He's not, you know, throwing picks. He's not fumbling it. That's the running backs that are doing that. That's the running backs that are like, you know, creating less opportunities because the possession is dying. So to me, I just, how do they fix it? Is it fixable? I think the answer is no. Like, how do you, okay, your offensive line sucks. You can't run the ball as it is. You're 27th in rush attempts and yards per play. 27th. Like, you have no rushing attack. And your offensive line, yeah, good job last week against the Houston Texans. They're not a running team.
This is an area where I think everybody, when they looked at this team, was just dead wrong. You know, when we're talking, and I don't think Cam Newton's the answer, okay, at all, okay, because there's no way with this team right now, at least this kid's accurate, and he knows where to go with the football, and he gets rid of the football. So I don't know what they would be with Cam here. But still, it's like we said, they don't need Cam. This is advertised as a very good top five offensive line. Now, let's not – everybody
no,
was saying it before the season, but and the running back. Like, you don't need, my, you know, Cam Newton. Hand the ball off to Damian Harris. The guy's a horse. They'll be able to, they're going to still be able to run the football without Cam Newton because they have a great offensive line and they got a bunch of good backs. And that is the one area. That's the reason why you're not scoring in the red zone. You can't run the football. Your offensive line sucks. And your running backs right now, you don't even know. You're rattling through guys left and right because one week they fumble, they're out. Next week he fumbles, he's out. And now you got Damian Harris day to day. You don't know if he's going to play. So now you got to give the ball to Stevenson again, who's a rookie who can't pass block. You know, Taylor already fumbled. Stevenson already fumbled. And who are you going to give the ball? Brandon Bolden. And Brandon Bolden's the reason why you're averaging 2.2 yards a carry.
That's another part.
In the run zone.
Screen. So, so is it Josh McDaniels?
You're right. I don't know how it's fixable.
Is it Josh McDaniels' lack of creativity? Or
in a running game?
Well, listen, you know, one opening closes and then you find another avenue. Is it Josh McDaniels' inability to call plays that generate points? Do you think that's it? Like Josh McDaniels suddenly, with all his years, with all the points that he's helped the Patriots score, he suddenly doesn't know how to draw up red zone touchdowns? So my answer is no. Rhetorical question. The answer is no. And it's not Josh McDaniels. So what is it? I just gave you stats on Mac. It's not Mac.
No.
He's efficient.
He's running
I mean, he's clean. Okay.
Your offensive line is completely
so
let you down
it,
five
it
games.
It ends up being some sort of personnel issue. It ends up being guys that the wrong personnel for the wrong job. And you become predictable. They know what you're going to run. Okay. And it's the fear. It's the overall fear that you have of putting your entire team in a bad situation. You're always working under the assumption of caution over success. It's like you don't want to take risk, even though the rewards are great. You rather just play it safe and play it clean and be careful and settle for field goals. You won't win with that mentality, period.
Would you compare this team? Was it after week one, week two, like as far as like you just called them like missionary?
Missionary style?
Just boring.
They want the lights off, clothes
vanilla,
on. They don't want
missionary.
Anything crazy. Don't bring any toys, no tricks. They don't play any music.
Well, you got a couple flea flickers, so there's been a couple of sexy moments.
Yeah, but really, like, where's the risk in that? Like, you know, second down play, midfield. Like, really, if the play doesn't work, you just eat it or throw it away.
But see,
there's no penalty
that
for
whole,
that.
Like, they're boring and not being able to run the football, it kind of brings you to, you know, to Mac Jones. Because you said to, you know, you just, like you said, those numbers, pretty good. I mean, 18 for 23 in the red zone, 4 TDs, no picks in the red zone. So he's doing his job. So you sort of look at him and say, okay, you know, what is he? Is he enough? Like, is he enough? How much did they put on this kid? Like, who is Mac Jones right now? And a lot of that, to me, has to do with that, you know, the missionary analogy. They don't have any sexy players. They really don't.
They're all prudes.
They really don't.
They're all prudes.
But everyone's sitting there talking about a guy like Mac Jones and saying, well, you know, he's going to have to compete. You know, look at what Herbert's doing. You know, look at who Mahomes is. Look what Josh Allen has become. And it's like, how do you expect Mac Jones to kind of, you know, show that pop? Like, you know, throwing the ball to just, you know, listen, Jacoby Myers will catch it. You know, running the football. Yeah. You know, he doesn't have the guys around him to show that pop that they were talking about. We're talking about Herbert. Why doesn't he look like him? Well, you don't have Mike Evans. You know, you don't have Eckler catching the ball in the backfield. He doesn't have Keenan Allen. He certainly doesn't have Kelce and Tyreek Hill. You know, he doesn't have Stephon Diggs and what they're doing. Dawson Knox looks like, you know, what he's doing. Emmanuel Sanders, look at his numbers this year. Like, he doesn't have those guys. And he's not Lamar Jackson running the football. You know what I mean? So it's, how can a guy like Mac Jones sit there, because we're wondering who this guy is, go out there and look sexy when he's got a bunch of missionary receivers?
So it's funny. So you mentioned Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Okay, so
top four quarterbacks in the AFC.
So all those
right?
guys, I think, have a different yet unique set of skill set. Like Josh Allen being big, physical. Patrick Mahomes just clever and just, you know. And then you go Lamar Jackson, his elite speed, and Justin Herbert with his just youth and just strong arm. And so what? So what does Mac have? What does Mac have? Like, as far as just his overall general abilities, like it. I mean, and what everyone says is, oh, he's smart. oh, Mac Jones is smart. The Mac Jones makes up for it because he's smarter than everybody else. Well, okay, accuracy is obviously, you know, an attribute you need, but that can't be it. Like, you don't think Justin Herbert is smart? You don't think Josh Allen is smart? You don't think Patrick Mahomes is smart? You don't think Lamar Jackson is smart? Like, well, they're all smart.
Well,
like, they all know who the mic is.
Yes, and Lamar's probably different than
smarts,
those guys.
His smarts aren't enough.
Yeah. Lamar's probably different, right? Because I just feel like, you know, he'll use Marquise Brown, I get it, and Andrews, whatever. But he's just elite speed. And this year, he's still one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC. There's no question about it. But the other guys have some sexy toys to play with. I would answer that as saying, I don't know what Mac Jones is right now. And he said, what is he great at? Well, so far, he sort of checks some boxes given what he has. You know, and to be fair, he's given the same thing that Cam Newton had last year. Well, he's got probably a little bit better weapons. But they're still limited, aren't they? Like, these were the upgrades in the offseason. To go get two good tight ends. Good. They're good. I mean, they're not like, you know, it's not Kelsey. It's not Waller. This is not, you know, Kittle or anything. They're good. There, you didn't have any. You got good tight ends. Your wide receivers, what are they? Like, you got average wide receivers to below average wide receivers in this league? I give them average. So it's like you what did you really surround him with to pop, you know, to make him pop? And what concerns me more is which one of these wide receivers and tight ends aren't going to be here next year? It's all the same guys, right? So does it become explosive next year? Do we see what he can do next year? None of them are going to change.
You know, so if it's a person, listen, if he's smart and he can handle it, then it becomes you don't blame Josh McDaniels. Because I would say a reason a young quarterback would look stupid is because the offensive coordinator it calls terrible plays. Doesn't understand timing, doesn't understand the flow of the game, can't recognize the opportunities, you know, like a really smart chess player, 10 moves in advance. So it's not Josh, it's not Mac, then it's personnel. You don't trust your personnel. Like, I mean, you got veterans. Here's the thing. You don't got rookies on this offense. You got veterans everywhere. There isn't a rookie that's playing on this team right now. There's not, other than the young backs who Ramondre Stevenson is the only one. Damien Harris isn't a rookie.
Well,
Brandon Bolden, but the only rookie is the quarterback, and he's not playing like one. That's what they're all telling me. He's not playing like a rookie. He doesn't have time to play like a rookie. We can't afford for you to play like a rookie. He's playing like a vet, and he's throwing to vets.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of like when you watch this team, and it's like the quarterback gives you hope, but when you look at, you know, the offense itself, how does this thing change? Is it fixable? Does Aguilar all of a sudden become explosive? You know, we love Jacoby Myers, but we kind of know what he is. Is Kendrick Bourne become explosive? These tight ends become explosive? It just seems like you're in this vanilla-type offense, not just for this year, because they're all coming back next year, too. This is just the way it's going to work. So I don't know what you're going to find out from Mac Jones is the point, like this year, next year. He isn't going to be like Herbert chucking it deep to Mike Williams all the time. You know, or Tyreek Hill all the time, or Steph Diggs all the time. It's going to be work yourself down the field, 70% completion percentage, be able to run the ball in the red zone, which they can't. Like, we keep talking about, great, it is what it is, but how does it get fixed? How does it change? And the personnel might be a lot to do with it. All right, MFers, by the way, this hour is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, with locations in Dedham, Next, and Legacy Place, and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. All right, Patriots fans, how does it change? What are you seeing from Mac Jones, and is it really about the personnel around him? Is the reason why maybe he hasn't really just popped right now? Give us a call, 617-779-7937.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Little Mac.
That was funny.
Nice. Put together a little Mac Jones. Well, the Patriots.
He does see. He has a feel of it, like Ned Flanders kids. Like Ned Flanders and...
Oh, Rod and Todd Flanders.
Rod and Todd Flanders. Does he not have a little Rod and Todd in him?
Said golly gee, I don't know if I can have my dessert now.
Can I eat it all the way or should I save it for later?
Send it to the impoverished.
I think we have him pegged wrong. I think he's not the Joker. I think he's Rod and Todd mixed in together.
I don't think I've missed it yet or anything, but like, you know, like the sights and sounds of games. Don't you just want him in a huddle or on the sideline just snapping?
That psycho.
Like, don't you just want to see it? Like
I don't know if he's... Is there
that side of him when, it, you know, there's just sound and you're like, holy, there it is. Like, you know, you just need to see it and then you can actually visualize like, oh, yeah, that guy is psycho. You just want to hear it?
I feel like there's some guys like that who, you know, obviously rookies. He's basically the leader of the team. Like, when do they feel comfortable calling out older players? Like, when is he? He's gonna call out Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith.
Takes a while.
Kendrick Bourne. Yeah, you know, Aguilar, are you going to call up those guys? Are you going to call out, you know, Brandon Bolden? Dude, I've been in the league for, like, you know, forever. Tell me anything. And I know this offense better than you do.
Should he?
Yes. Has to.
As a rookie?
He has to. Yes. He can't
how,
be
How does a
passive.
Rookie call out a guy? Like, you know, hey, you went the wrong route. Like, you know, you obviously not handling it like Brady, right? Screaming, yelling,
well, you can't,
all these other
you
things.
Can't, you can't not address it, I will say that. How you handle it is up to you.
I think you handle it differently as a rookie is my point. I would think. That's all. I'm just like.
But wouldn't you. Listen, in my career, there's a couple guys that I kind of, like I said, wow, I respect this guy for a rookie. He gets it. He thinks like a vet. He's kind of seasoned like a vet. He understands what's at stake like an older player. And then if they want to grandstand and soapbox, you kind of let him go ahead and do it. Right. If he's yelling at people, you let him do it.
So we're talking about some of the issues they have in the red zone, not being able to run the football, the offensive line, the front seven, you know, not being able to stop the rushing game. So I'm going to ask you for you. Are these issues fixable?
All right, so how much faith do I have in them?
Can you fix
10 being
these
best,
things?
10 being 100% faith. Probably at a 4. I don't think they're fixable. I don't think they're fixable. I think some of their issues are obvious signs of wait till the offseason to fix it. Do I think N'Keal Harry is also going to become a badass wide receiver like you can count on in every single situation?
Well, you hate to bring that up again, though, right?
But what do you want me to do?
Like, so think of all the guys that were picked that year when they dove into the wide receiver market.
So, okay, let's go over some of their issues, okay? Do you have faith that they're going to be a better red zone scoring offense?
No, because I don't think they can run the football.
Okay, so the answer is no. So you don't have faith in them either. Do you think, outside of the red zone, do you think they're going to end up protecting Mac Jones better?
No.
Do you have faith in them? No, me neither. Like, they already kind of showed me that they're not very good at it. Do you think that the running backs
are... what the starting offensive line looks like, you know, and I don't know if Trent Brown's ever coming back. We've seen this before with him. They saw this out in Vegas with the Raiders. Like, calf, done for the year. Like, I don't know when he comes back. And I saw what the way Isaiah Wynn was playing when he was healthy, when he was playing. Like, it's just, no, it's the and then the other thing that we said was actually fixable, like the front seven, because we think the talent's there to stop the run. But now he's starting to see the age in the linebackers.
I was just going to say, are they getting younger?
Hightower's not the same guy coming in. None of them are.
None of them are. They're not going to get any younger. They're not going to get any faster. If we're already talking about and identifying them being slow, and like you watch Micah Parsons, linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys.
Heard his name a lot last year.
This dude, sideline to sideline, he's just so fast. Like, it's just, you can't teach speed. Yeah, we know. I mean, you can when they're younger.
He was the guy everybody wanted for the Patriots.
Yeah, we were talking about him.
I mean, his name was
Penn State.
All day long, every day. Micah Parsons. And you got Mac Jones, right? I mean, I don't know. Is this game like, does Micah Parsons go absolutely nuts? And you're sitting there
should
have got Davis Mills in the third round.
In the open, you heard Bill talking about like glowing over the Dallas Cowboys and their ability to acquire talent. Look at Trayvon Diggs, younger brother Stephon Diggs, wide receiver for Buffalo Bills. He's got 6 interceptions in 5 games. Okay, you got Micah Parsons, and you look at their offensive side of the ball between their tight ends, both their backs, all their wide receivers and their quarterback.
See, the problem is you start talking about fixable things. I don't know how much more the quarterback can give you. Like, you know, and obviously he's got 5 interceptions, so I understand that. So he mentioned it before, but, you know, I got to make sure my guy's the only ones that touch the ball. So he's not perfect. I'm not saying that he is, but he is a rookie quarterback in this league. Go look at the other rookie quarterbacks in this league right now and what they're doing. Like, as far as improving, how much more does he have to improve? It's not about him. It's about everyone around him, which is why we keep saying how they've all let him down. You know, and maybe even personnel department, which kind of is head by Bill.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned this earlier. So you think about it. Okay, so all right, so you get through this year. Woo, okay, lots of free agent acquisitions. Okay, so are they going to draft a wide receiver in the first round? Are they going to draft a tailback, a quarterback, an offensive lineman? No, 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 and no. Where do they need all the help now?
Linebackers and corner.
They need defensive help. Yeah, they need linebackers. They need safeties. They need corner help. Like, they may get one or two guys in free agency, but it won't be a tight end. And it won't be a wide receiver unless they, and it won't be for big money. And they just spent all this money on Aguilar, Bourne. You guaranteed them money. So you kind of have to play it out. Like, you don't have any choice.
And your running backs, like you said, you're going in the next year with Harris and Stevenson.
Yeah, you may get a fourth or fifth round guy, but you're drafting.
I would say
is defense.
You need a third down back. Boy, do you need a third down back, because I don't know how much longer I can watch Brandon Bolden catching screen passes. All right, let's go to PK in Andover. He says we're missing a point here. What do you say, PK? You're on with Lou and Christian.
Hey, long time listener, first time caller. Thank you. I think the team is built around the culture of everybody contributing. So if you could have pulled off the Miami game, or if we would have scored the last, kick against the Bucks game, we would be 4-1. Mm-hmm. Would you then consider this thing to be a poor personnel team, or it's just the team? Everybody has to sort of play well for this team to actually win, and that's the only way. And that's how it's actually designed to be.
Hmm. And PK, I'm glad you called, because you're the first caller, and I've been kind of waiting for it.
Of what?
That the Patriots are 2 plays away from being 4-1. You guys are overreacting, because we heard this a lot last year. They just scored from the one against Seattle. Well, they didn't fumble against Buffalo.
Ooh.
You know, and we can continue, because I'll admit, yeah, if Damian Harris doesn't fumble against Miami, you probably win that game, right? Nick Folk kicks that ball a foot to the right, you
may still lose. You left 50
but
seconds on the clock.
But you're 3-2.
But yeah.
So are we overreacting? I say no, because you're watching a team that is not disciplined. That those mistakes that you're seeing, other than Folk, okay, like. They're causing these. This is what they do. This is what they've been. This is who they are. Like, Damian Harris fumbles, not a fluke. He just fumbled last week going into the one. You know, this defense not being able to get off the field late in games isn't a fluke. They've already done that a couple of times. You know, you could say Nick Folk, like, missing that field goal might be a fluke, I guess. But you didn't go for it on 4th-and-3. You know, maybe because you don't have confidence in your offense. So it's all true. And I'm waiting for someone to sit there and say they're 2 plays away from being 4-1. But I can't go there. This is not, if there was a 4-1, I'd say it's the worst 4-1 team I've ever seen in football. All right, listen, when we come back, I want to touch on what's going on around the NFL. We know the investigation on the Washington football team, but boy, oh boy, everyone's getting hurt. Everyone's taking some shrapnel here on this one, except for Washington football team. And now Adam Schefter's involved. We'll get into that next. All right, welcome back to Maloney and Florio. We'll get you guys lined up right now on the phone. Want to talk a little bit of Pats, and we will do that. But first, I got to bring up this Adam Schefter. He's the latest guy that's tangled in this investigation into Washington. There was just this full draft. The story is about the NFL, NFLPA negotiating Redskins GM Bruce Allen, right? And basically what Schefter did was, in this some of these emails, apparently, Schefter, during, I think this was like 2011, during like the, labor disagreement?
Yep.
So he has obviously talked to Bruce Allen about it. And in this, one of the emails says, please let me know. This is Schefter sending it to Bruce Allen. Obviously, he asked him. He was one of his sources, and he put this story together. So he sent him the story back and said, please let me know if there's anything that should be added, changed, or tweaked, Schefter wrote. Thanks, Mr. Editor, for that and the trust. Plan to file this in ESPN about 6 a.m. So what he did was he sent the story to Bruce Allen over in Washington to make sure the story was correct. And I don't know. People are jumping all over him. See, Jameel Hill, she's sitting there saying, I've been a journalist for 20 years. I've never let a source proofread, preview, or edit any story. Majority of journalists I know have never done this either. This is a huge journalistic no-no. Young journalists, this is not how it's done ever. You tell me, is this that big of a story that Schefter is kind of involved in this right now?
I personally don't think it is. I've done interviews before where I've told the guy, "Let me see it before you release it. I want to see it." Like I'm gonna okay. Like and it's everyone doesn't have to do it, but if you have a good relationship with somebody and you say something and you find out that they say it completely differently than you, I guess originally implied it, then I don't see what the big deal is. Hey, listen, that's not what I meant. Okay, so sometimes you'll get that courtesy, which I would call a courtesy. I think Adam Schefter, being the guy of the NFL with all these relationships, probably extended a courtesy.
See, I don't have a problem with it either. Tyler, you got a problem with it though, right?
Yeah, because now whenever I read Adam Schefter stuff, I'm always going to question this. I think he's taking a major hit to his journalistic integrity because every single time that he posts a story, you know it's now been filtered through the lens and the eyes of the NFL and their owners. It's very obvious to me that this guy is now a confirmed mouthpiece for the NFL.
Well, what I'm saying is, do we know the specific story?
It was about the lockout and the subject.
Were there quotes from anonymous sources?
I mean, possibly, but you don't give the whole story to Bruce Allen to proofread and edit.
What if Bruce Allen's your source? What if
change, Lou.
Well, I think it does.
No, it doesn't. If you send him a blurb, you do not send him the entire story.
Okay, well, if I'm trying to find out what went on in those meetings, and Bruce Allen is my contact, he is my source, he's the owner that I have the most
relationship with. Hypotheticals.
Okay, you think he was his source?
I would assume possibly at one point because they're very close. He's close to Bruce Allen and the Shanahans.
Okay, so I'm viewing this as, you know, he obviously talked to Bruce Allen, and he kind of got the story behind the scenes of what was going on, you know, in negotiations. And, you know, took that information, wrote an article, he was his source, and sent it back to him and said, "Do I have all this stuff right? You know, did I get anything wrong here? You let me know. I want to be accurate with my story." Like, that's kind of the way I looked at it, and I don't see a problem with that at all.
Going to a subject for accuracy is a correct journalistic practice and what it should be encouraged in journalism schools today. But I can tell you that this has not happened. You do not send entire stories because let's say the NFLPA sources, the anonymous sources, told Adam Schefter something. And now you're going back to Bruce Allen, who leads the NFL side in these negotiations, and asking him if the record is correct. Of course, he's not going to say that everything the NFLPA is saying is correct, because I do not want the person who is talking and reporting on the NFL versus NFLPA negotiations to have stories peer-reviewed by an editor who is calling Mr. Editor and Bruce Allen.
I know, but when you say
one side.
I'm sort of creating a scenario. You're creating a scenario that, you know, that he wrote this story and that Bruce Allen wasn't involved, and then he sent it to Bruce and said, "Is this accurate?"
Like, we have no idea Bruce is involved in this story.
Okay, well, I would think that it would. Why don't we hear from Adam Schefter? He tried to explain it today on 97.5, The Fanatic out in Philly.
And I've learned for a long time in this business not to discuss sources or the process or how stories are done. But I would just say that basically it's a common practice to run information past sources. And in this particular case, during a labor-intensive lockout that was a complicated subject that was new to understand, I took the extra rare step, again, to run information past one of the people that I was talking to. It was an important story to fans, a host of others, and that's the situation.
So he said that he was his source. No, so I don't.
He's running the information by that as a both sides story and asking, "Hey, one side, you think the story is 100% accurate?" Well, no, you don't do that. You send, "Hey, the NFLPA source is telling me this. Do you think this is accurate?"
I understand. You're not a big fan of this, but when I sit there and I hear him say that I took the extra step to run information past one of the people I was talking to. Like, see, I would think that if he's going to write a story about Jimmy Garoppolo departure and he's getting quotes anonymously from Josh McDaniels, I would think that he might go back to him and sit there and say, "Hey, is this story accurate? Like, did I misread anything you said to me? Is this okay for me to write?" And
correct.
Him saying, "Yes, okay, that's fine." And this is how I view this story here. Like, he went to Bruce Allen, one of the people that he talked to, as he even said there, one of his sources. And I want to make sure that I got the information right.
So you have no problem that a story about NFL negotiations was peer-reviewed and edited by an NFL personnel member?
Not if that was the source of the story. Not at all.
I do
the
think
the story
it's,
is it, both it, sides. You're
I don't know what the story was.
It was about the NFL lockout, well, the NFL versus the NFLPA. This is why it's a big deal. You're letting one side tell one side of the story.
Well, you don't,
and peer review it.
What you don't know is if he sent the article over to Bruce Allen and Bruce Allen said, no, I don't like the way this comes off. Change it. Like the, now, would he change it? Would he just want to confirm like the quote so he didn't misquote him? Or was he actually looking for like input or direction?
For giving him the opportunity is the massive mistake. It doesn't matter what Bruce Allen really replied.
See, I honest to God, since it's Adam Schefter, I don't think it's a big deal. Like I'm not going to be one of these. Maybe because I'm not a journalist. What would Mago say? Well, I mean, I don't think, and I would say this because it's happened to me before, where guys have written articles and they have sent me the article, and it's sometimes just little snippets, maybe paragraphs, not asking for my approval, but did I get everything right?
Well, you just said when you would do an interview, you would request, let me see what it looks
like.
Yeah,
and sometimes
they did.
Is
that why you're doing it, or are you worried about how you come off?
I want to make sure, like sometimes, you know, when you do these interviews, now this is maybe a little different though. Like when you do some of these interviews, you're literally just, you know, you're just talking freely, and they will cut off a sentence. Like you'll say something, there will be no period, but they will cut it off, or they will leave something out like that actually explains it. And then they'll release the quote as is with no context. They're going to go to the Super Bowl like that.
What?
Like that.
I don't do
totally
that.
Taken out of context. So no, but here's, but,
but I we was, also, I, we also don't this. Know because we don't have emails from DeMaurice Smith or anybody in the NFLPA if he sent the exact same article to them.
Here's my issue with this is the big story. This is the lead that nobody's talking about. And I guess they are actually, is that this has nothing. This whole thing is all about the NFL and how they're screwing this whole investigation up. Like, so instead of it being about the Washington football team and all their issues, now it's about John Gruden. Now it's about Adam Schefter and some stupid email that he wrote about a paper he was handing in to his teacher. Like, who gives a crap? It's about Jeff Fisher. About now he has to defend the drafting of Michael Sam because of what John Gruden said. That, to me, is the bigger story. Like, how this investigation suddenly is about John Gruden, which leads to other issues with why John Gruden is being, you know, why he was fired, why he's being mocked and criticized, like everything else. And Adam Schefter, like, holy crap, is this really a big story? Adam Schefter, who's covered the league forever, is suddenly being called out because of what's going on with 650,000 emails were released.
How many times have we read Adam Schefter and said this comes directly from, like, Patriots management? You know, just by the information
Jeff
that he has.
Jeff Darlington.
I try not to give my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think, because people are like, oh, it's going to ruin his credibility.
You don't think all these guys.
Ruin his credibility, Tyler?
Every single Twitter mentioned his latest tweet, which he's ignoring this. CBS analyst Nate Burleson discusses how he's become an even bigger standout on TV than he was in the NFL. Every single mention is talking about you are ignoring this major story. Your credibility's taking a hit. You're a mouthpiece for the NFL. You're Roger Goodell's right-hand man.
What do you think he is?
I had suspicions about that before. This confirms it. This guy is literally having the NFL peer review and edit his stuff. This is a glaring example of that.
You don't think he's done the same thing with like NFL like players?
I'm
or
sure,
like agents.
So like when
like, hey, I just want to send this back to you. Can you proofread this and make sure I get everything right?
I heard you're going to sign.
He works both sides of the fence.
Yeah, I think he does, and it's all based on relationships.
Yes, of course. So if Christian Fourier and Adam Schefter had sources that said Christian Fourier will sign a 4-year deal with the Washington football team, you can absolutely approach Christian and say, "Is this true?" Because you're not. That's just it's the headline of the news story. You're not setting the whole story about negotiations that are two sided between the players and the league, and asking the league a guy. Who works
when you
for a
say
team,
the league,
okay?
you have to differentiate the league from a guy who works for a team.
Like, he is a major decision maker for one of the 32 teams.
I know, but when you say the league, it is to me it's different. Like when you say the league, I think you know Roger Goodell and all his executives and you know and everybody else that works there, Troy Vincent, those guys who work for the league. These are guys that were low level executives, former coaches. Rose up the ranks, had existing relationships, and they so what? Like, so what if he called up his buddy, which they're close, and said, hey, just check this for me. Oh, so he just avoid that part of the conversation because they're friends? Because of artistic, creativity, whatever the hell you would call it. I don't even know what you call
journalistic
it.
Journalistic integrity.
Thank you, Ryan.
Same thing.
That's what it is. Journalistic integrity.
It's the same thing.
He's not a journalist.
No, he's not a journalist. We completely agree. Adam Schefter is not a journalist.
He's an insider, right?
He's not a journalist.
Okay,
he's,
so you're treating, so Jermel Hill is treating him like a journalist.
He's an insider.
And he's not.
She shouldn't, but most people, I think, maybe until today, probably thought of Adam Schefter as a football journalist.
Okay, but do you think he's a journalist?
I don't think he's an insider.
He's not Seth Wickersham. He's an insider. Hey, this guy signed. Look out for this. Roger Goodell. He has to be in bed with the NFL. He has to be in bed with the agents, the league, the coaches. How is he going to get inside information? If he dogs them out, they're not going to tell him anything. Like, he is their mouthpiece. Yes, guilty. He speaks for the league. He speaks for the coaches. He speaks for the agents. This, to me, is so different than a journalist who is writing some sort of review on conduct detrimental to the team. I think they're taking shots at Adam for the wrong reason, personally. It's like, here's another guy whose name was brought up in this huge scandal with the stupid Washington football team, and now he's being criticized,
I don't even look at, I think Schefter is a, breaks stories, social media now or on ESPN, and then usually follows it up with articles. You know what I mean? Once it calms down, everyone's got it because that's how social media works. Follows up, maybe ESPN, to have him write a column about it or an article about it, whatever it is. We'll have to ask Mago. But Ian Rappaport, he's a mouthpiece for the NFL. He's also a mouthpiece for the agents and the players, and just the same as Adam Schefter.
Hey, guys, Dunsky for the season.
I think it's totally different, Ryan and Tyler.
And so every time that Ian Rappaport has discussed something on the air, Andy Hart calls him crapsheet because he does not respect his journalistic integrity. He's seen too many holes in his reporting, which I am now seeing in terms of Adam Schefter throwing his stories and putting them under the lens of the NFL and what the team leaders say.
So you said this. So people are giving him, people on Twitter are giving Adam Schefter a hard time because he releases a podcast where he talks to Nate Burleson. Like this, where he should be addressing these issues.
Correct. He's trying to bury it by just moving on.
I mean, all these things are just shakedowns. They're all opportunistic people trying to take shots at a guy, try to, take away his credibility because they don't like him, because it's open season on everybody.
So John Clayton was just on Pittsburgh radio and said, quote, about Adam Schefter, that is unprofessional. That's bad journalism.
Okay.
He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Okay. I know John Clayton very well. Friend of the show, covered me in Seattle. That's one guy's opinion. And John Clayton, maybe he does things differently. Maybe John Clayton is a little upset that he used to be Adam Schefter and he's not anymore.
I also think there's a reason that every single one of Schefter's colleagues are now, kind of not in his corner in this one. The only one that backed down from it was Darren Rovell, who said, I've done this before. And then he said, wait, I actually haven't done this before. I've only sent blurbs. Which is what every reporter's done. Nobody sends full stories.
Okay, reporter, you're not. I would say he's. Who else would you put in the Adam Schefter category? Not that I need to defend
Peter
Adam
King,
Schefter.
Ian Rappaport.
Okay, you don't think Peter King, good old boy Peter King, has not extended the same courtesy to other people that he's worked with? He knows everybody in the league.
Goodell's probably his Monday morning editor for his column.
So what? So what? Who cares? You want information. You want to read information. Peter King, it's up to Peter King to pick a side, and you could tell how he writes the article, what side he's on,
and don't
if he's impartial or not, right?
Christian, don't you view guys like Mike Lombardi, Peter King, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, all in a different lens than a guy like, an investigative journalist like Ian O'Connor or, maybe
Seth Wickersham,
Tom Curran, people who actually do real journalism?
Yeah, I don't think offense, Shefty. I don't consider what you do journalism. I don't at all.
No, he's an insider.
You just grab information and you spit it out.
General manager Brian Gutekunst.
That's all he does.
Man.
So, I do think it's, I don't know, it just doesn't bug me as much.
No.
And I think all these guys, anyone who's being critical of Schefter, they're elitist and they don't know how it works.
No, it is, and it's funny because this whole, you said, the investigation, all of a sudden now, it's. I know the lawyers, there's 40 people a part of this lawsuit, right, this investigation with Washington football team, and their lawyers are like, hey, when are we going to get answers? The only people that are being punished right now is the head coach of the Raiders, and now Adam Schefter's involved. And now the NFLPA wants to release all these emails. I hope they do, but good God. I mean, we've only had a couple people involved. Who else? Like, who else would you hear in these 650,000 emails if they released all of them?
So Gruden was probably easy, okay? You find out it's John Gruden. You see the name. You start reading him. They go, whoa, my God, that stands out. That stands out. Oh, my God, look what he said. Then you look at Schefter. I'm like, wait, you're really trying hard to find things to just release. Let's just keep going. Let's say, who else? I'm sure there'll be another name. Like, out of 650,000 emails, the only thing that they release is John Gruden and Adam Schefter?
That's and, you know, I don't know how you feel about this either, because a lot of people are bringing this up, calling hypocrisy of the NFL, given, you know, who they're having at the halftime show.
I don't care.
Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, others, and people like, oh, you know, you get rid of Gruden and these people, I think it was Doug Gottlieb. Super Bowl halftime show seems to feature artists who have used the exact same words, only broadcast them to the masses. You know, and Jason Whitlock, wonder if anyone in the NFL office ever listened to Dre, Snoop, or Eminem album, compared them to what Gruden's emails. Can't wait for their Super Bowl show. And I just, these guys are like, they're artists. They sing. They sing
songs.
They're
rappers.
They're rappers.
That is what they do.
They're not head coaches of football teams. Like leaders, you know, the emails come out.
Like, I don't think an ethics code. I mean, you think Snoop Dogg gives a crap what anybody says about
Snoop
him?
Snoop talk about dropping it like it's constant.
Like we interviewed. Remember we interviewed Ice Cube?
Yes.
And we asked him about, like, you know, the lyrics in his songs and people repeating them and getting in trouble for repeating them. And he's like, I wrote them for a reason, for people to sing my lyrics. You know what I mean? And this is just I don't think that's hypocrisy, because they're going to put Snoop, Dre, and Eminem and compare that to what Gruden said.
See, to me, it turns into, I do think there are different rules for different people. Charles Barkley can say whatever he wants.
Yeah, but you know,
doesn't matter.
But here's the thing.
Snoop Dogg, rappers, singers, say whatever you want.
But see, this is different. You know, you talk about they're blaming like the cancel culture, which I'm not a fan of at all. But given what these emails kind of revealed, and I know it was 10 years ago, we said before, like, the cancel culture to me is Mike Milbury. Him saying something on the broadcast, and most of us knowing exactly what Mike Milbury meant on the broadcast, and people twisting it to somehow saying Mike Milbury didn't want women in sports. You know, and it's just like they're just twisting that to their own narrative to get rid of Mike Milbury, which I don't think he even said. And I don't even know if most people feel that way, that that's even what he said. This is different. Like, this is different, what Gruden's doing.
But so ultimately, so the league, by trying to kind of handle this, by trying to get ahead of whatever issues, maybe they thought Gruden was going to be an issue in the future and people were going to find out about these emails and then say, you knew about this and you let him coach? You knew about this and you didn't do anything about it? You didn't push him out? Donald Sterling, hello? It's the same thing. Get him out of the league. So they probably, or were they just vindictive and they didn't like him, so this is their opportunity to kind of stick it to him? Which one is it? I would say probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, and listen, I think the league was after him. Somebody
why?
Was after him.
But why were they after him? What did he do?
Did the first emails reveal? Did Goodell see the first emails and saw what he said about him?
He was the face of the NFL. He worked for ESPN for years. He had every quarterback coming out of college went to the Gruden School of
Quarterbacking. No idea how many enemies, you know, anybody's ever made in their lives, and including John Gruden. Who knows? But they released one on Friday, and maybe they didn't get enough attention from it, or maybe that wasn't the kill shot when it came to John Gruden's career as head coach of this league, and they said, screw it. We're going to release it more Sunday night. It's going to make him look even worse. And if Gruden didn't resign Sunday night, they would have released more on Monday or Tuesday, to the point where, okay, there's no other option. Like, somebody released those for a reason. And they released them twice. Two separate email chains for a reason. Get rid of John Gruden.
You're right about that, because they had an agenda. They wanted to get rid of him. He fought it. He thought it was over. And then they said, okay, if the first round isn't enough, Steve, you can handle this one. So they just kept releasing stuff until he gave up.
Yeah. All right, listen, this hour, by the way, is brought to you by Brookline Bank. When we come back, take a look at the Dallas Cowboys, who are coming in here on Sunday. And I want to ask this question about the Patriots. Are they closer to a 1-4 team or a 4-1 team? 617-779-7937. We'll do it next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.